listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right. Welcome to Rogue Startups, episode 162. Mr. Craig, how the heck are you this week?
Man, I am good. Been a lot changing in our lives these days. The last couple of weeks have been a bit of a roller coaster, but settling in nicely to some new stuff. And I think we'll be talking about change and dealing with change and uncertainty and stuff as entrepreneurs a little bit later as kind of the main segment. But I've been definitely feeling a lot of this. So our kind of main topic for the day is apropos, I think. But yeah. How about you? You went skiing last week, huh? As an excuse for work.
We did. It's my favorite time of the year, right? It's the one time that I get to deduct the cost of my ski pass because it's actually being used for business. It's fucking awesome.
That's excellent.
So we went to Big Snow Tiny Conf in Beaver Creek. We had amazing conditions. Truly the best I think we've ever had up there. I'll quote Ted Pitts on this one, where he said at lunch on the second, maybe it was the first day, he said, I just can't wipe the smile off my face because I'm having such a good time. And I'm like, this is what I want to hear. This is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the reason it was so fantastic was basically it had been snowing pretty regularly on the weeks coming up to it, which we haven't had the past 3 years. It's been like boom or bust. And you just never knew what you were going to get. Like last year, I mean, I was kind of freaking out because the last snowfall we had before the conference was December 24th, and there was nothing in January and almost nothing in February. Then right before the conference, it came in like, bam, 12 inches. So it totally saved the conference, but 12 inches is kind of tough to ski in. So this year we got 4 to 6 inches of fresh powder every morning.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and the temperatures were not bad. It was like 28, 29 degrees, no wind. I mean, it was totally ideal. One of the days was actually kind of sunny, so you got a little warm. The second day, it was actually snowing while you were skiing. So, you know, both were totally excellent and fine conditions to be skiing in. We had an amazing time. Everybody really, really enjoyed. The snowboarders and skiers had equally good things to say about the terrain and the conditions alike, which is awesome.
And you guys were at the same place this year?
We are. Yeah. We stayed at the village townhomes in Beaver Creek and Arrowhead, which is, you know, there's three villages in Beaver Creek, and this is like the quietest, farthest one out at the lowest elevation. So you like stay at the condo, you walk over to the lift. It's like not even half a block's distance from where you walk out of the condo over to the lift to just get on.
Yeah,
it's a super awesome experience. Just get on, you go up, you ski, we have lunch, then come back, you know, early afternoon, and then we sat in the hot tub, and then we did our talk sessions, six a day on both days. And this year, we kind of came to a revelation because we had probably like, I'll say 80 to 85%. What's 10/12, whatever that is. I think that's 85%.
80, right, yeah.
So 85% return attendees, and of those return attendees, you know, a lot of them had been there 3 or 4 years total, which is a lot. And
that's great. Yeah.
And it kind of dawned on me because we were talking about, you know, trying to, you know, do we want to change the makeup of the conference? Do we want to have more of these conferences? Do you want to have one in the summer and one in the winter? Would you have one, two of them in the winter? I mean, we're just bantering, tossing ideas around. And the one thing that came out of this that I hadn't really thought of, but I probably should have, so I guess I'm a little thick on this one, was that Big Snow Tiny Conf isn't really a conference anymore. The first couple of years it was, but now it's basically a mastermind retreat for founders. And if you think about it for a second, you're like, duh, Dave, how come you didn't figure this out?
It's really just a way of looking at like how you approach it and the types of conversations you have, right? I mean, the label doesn't really matter, but what you do with it, right?
Yeah. And it became very clear this year that because everybody, you know, like most of the talks, so we usually say you can give a talk and it can be present on something that you know that would be of interest to this group, or you can do a mastermind session. And last year it was like more than three quarters mastermind sessions, I think. Mm-hmm. And this year, I think it was almost 100% mastermind sessions. I think there was one or two talks. So yeah. Again, it was very, very high. So everybody is bringing stuff to the table to say, all right, here's what we did. Here's where I want to go. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those kind of conversations. So they were super, super deep and valuable. And, you know, just brutally honest. You know, somebody's up there saying, I want to do all this crazy shit. And we're like, no, no, no. What the fuck are you doing? Stay focused. Do this mm-hmm. one thing over here. Like, you're all over the map. Just stay on the one thing and do the one thing. And if that works, great, then move on to the next thing. But don't have all these crazy things on your roadmap, because you just get distracted and unfocused. Yep. And you're splitting your time and your assets and your resources. Like, don't do that. Don't do that at all. So those were the kind of conversations that we were having. And they were amazing.
Yeah.
Truly, truly amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that.
So as a result, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and as a result, you know, it kind of, it made me realize that when I got here to talk about it on the podcast, you know, we have a rule at Big Snow Tiny Conf. What happens at Big Snow Tiny Conf stays at Big Snow Tiny Conf, or what gets talked about stays there, because we're talking about really deep confidential things. I mean, people are very honest about, you know, their personal incomes and their business incomes and churn rates and who they were working with and, you know, if they were having problems with a service or a particular person. I mean, all this stuff comes out in the most detailed way, and you have to have this level of trust with everybody else to expose yourself like that. And so as a result of, you know, coming to this agreement, I guess, I realized that most of the cool shit that we talked about at Big Snow, I can't really share on the air, mm-hmm. which, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, we had a great time. That's what I can say publicly. And I think that was generally the consensus all around. It does remind me I need to send out the survey, post-conference survey there, to make sure, you know, everything was sort of on track. But, you know, I think we had everything kind of lined up this year, and I hope everybody had a good time. I got, you know, a lot of indirect feedback that said, hey, this is great, and some direct stuff that said, hey, this is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we had a very successful conference.
Awesome.
Bottom line.
That's great, man. I mean, I can tell you, I think, like, you know, whether it's a once a year or twice a year, whatever mastermind event like that, or if you're in a group that meets somewhat regularly, it's so, so, so valuable. I mean, I'm in a group now that is really good. And I know, Dave, we've both searched for good masterminds for kind of a long time. I mean, this podcast is kind of a mastermind of sorts, and we were in a group together for a while. And I think there's sometimes no like rhyme or reason why a group works out or doesn't. But if you find one, then I think it really gives you a place and an avenue to share about yourself and your business in a way that you might not otherwise. And it's really valuable. So I think everyone who isn't already doing it should really kind of seek out a group of people to talk to. Call it whatever you want and meet however often and wherever you want. But just have a way to talk to people that can relate to what you're talking about. Because this is a weird business that we're in. And a lot of us are, you know, by ourselves or, in, you know, with a couple other founders in the same area or something like that. But just having people that can relate to what you're talking about is so valuable. Not just like, should I do this or should I do that? But just a bitch about stuff and say like, this is hard and I don't know why this is happening. And just kind of get it out there is really refreshing sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is therapy. Some of it is advice. Some of it is just commiseration. Like you want people that are a sympathetic audience to talk to and say, here's all the crap that happened to me, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, I totally understand. I totally get that, you know, heads nodding in assent as you're talking, you know, mm-hmm. that's a very friendly group to be in right there.
Yeah.
I will share one thing that Brian Castle said. So Brian is the founder of Big Snow Tiny Conf East. And he and Brad, of course, gave you and I permission to set up Big Snows here in West and Europe. But Brian, so I was chatting with him about, you know, masterminds in general. And, you know, you and I had been in a mastermind with him for a little while. And then he just decided he didn't want to do that anymore. And so, but he kind of shut it down quickly. And I was sort of confused. Like, I thought this was good. I thought we were doing okay in the mastermind. So I talked to him a little bit about it. And he's like, well, it's not that I didn't enjoy the mastermind or I wasn't, you know, getting something valuable at it. It's that he didn't want that interruption in his productive workday, and he didn't have a better other time to do it. And he also found that just having these in-person meetings was way more valuable to him. Like he went deeper, he got better feedback, and it also gave him, you know, some time to unwind as well as go deep at the same time. Like when you're doing this for a couple of hours, say every 2 weeks or a couple of hours once a month, he wasn't getting the same thing out of it. And, you know, me always taking things personally, I'm like, oh, well, it must have been something I didn't provide value in the mastermind, or I'm just a sucky mastermind partner or whatever. But that wasn't it at all. That had nothing to do with it. And so that was some really interesting, valuable feedback. So coming from that, we had bandered about the idea of having like a second summer gathering. So, you know, Colorado being in the mountains, it's an awesome place to be in the winter or the summer. So I was thinking about trying to find some place that would be ideal to have a similar kind of an experience and maybe have like whitewater rafting or hiking or something as the physical activities that you get to do, so that you basically have a couple of times a year for the mastermind retreat, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that he was totally into.
Yeah. I know that like the Rhodium Group does these in-person mastermind events a few times a year. Yeah, I think that's really cool. So Charles Perry from Release Notes is doing one the day before FemtoConf. So I'm going to be going to that. So I'm going to FemtoConf in the 1st of May, the first part of May. And so he's putting on a just like a one-day event for whoever wants to come, basically, but just like the day before the event in another city in Germany. So, yeah, I mean, I think these in-person things are great. And really, that's the only reason I go to the conferences anyhow, is just to you know, see my friends and talk to people about what's going on. And a lot of them are the same people every year, so we get to kind of chat about things. So, yeah, totally great.
Yeah, I mean, that's so important to have a group of people that you can connect with and associate with and visit again and again. And, you know, I think you're getting that with FemtoConf, because how many times have you been there now? Two?
It's my third. Yeah, this will be my third.
This will be your third. Yeah, I was going to say this has not been a recent thing. So once you start to see the same people over and over again, you know, it's about catching up and it's about finding what they've been doing and what things are they struggling with now. And you can sort of get like a surface bit of that on Twitter. But I really, that's one of the things I like about MicroConf, is being able to reconnect with all these people that we've, you know, basically started relationships with over the years, right?
Yeah. Speaking of relationships and feedback and stuff, I have to say, Dave, I was very pleasantly surprised. I had two different podcast listeners reach out unsolicited to offer advice or feedback or help for kind of what we're going through with Sales Camp. Both of them kind of like marketing and positioning, messaging kind of things. But I was like really touched that people took the time to write a note or do a screencast or something to just kind of say, hey, I listened to the episode. You know, have you looked at this, or have you thought about this, or I was thinking about this, or what about, you know, taking this angle? And like, I know we get on the podcast almost every week and talk about stuff and put it out there, and hopefully it's helpful. But it was really cool to like get some of that back in the world. So I was really touched. Like it was about a week and a half ago now. But I was really touched. So for everybody who kind of reached out, thank you very much. It was really cool. We're looking at doing some pretty interesting things with Sales Camp here in the next couple of months, I'll say. So I'll keep everybody posted. But that was like totally the high point of my February so far. It was really cool.
That is super cool. I had a similar experience when we were saying something about AdWords, and David Hamrick reached out to me randomly on Twitter and offered some help on that one, which I was super grateful for and still am. I mean, it was amazing to get that expertise. I didn't even know that he was out there doing this stuff and had all of these things to offer on that. So yes, to everybody in the audience, we really appreciate it. You know, if you've got a suggestion or something like that, reach out to us, podcast@roguestartups.com. We'd love to hear from you. We are not the experts on really anything. No. The only thing I'm an expert on at this point is really dad jokes. And well, I guess that's it. Yeah, dad jokes. The rest I'm still learning. You know, I'm still struggling to find my way through this stuff a lot of the time. And, you know, I think you would probably echo a similar sentiment, wouldn't you, Craig?
Totally. Yeah. No, I mean, I am shocked that things are going as well as they are a lot of times. I'm just like, I'm successful in spite of myself a lot of times.
Successful in spite of myself. Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to have inscribed on my tombstone.
There you go. There you go.
that's funny.
But it's good. And, you know, we've, I think, Dave, of all the episodes recently, I've got the most kind of interaction and discussion with people about James Kennedy and his LinkedIn outreach episode. People saying, does that shit really work? Have you ever tried it? All this kind of stuff. And I have to say, it works. We landed a Podcast Motor customer just last week from LinkedIn outreach. And so, like, with the LTV that, you know, Podcast Motor customers have, it's totally worth it already. So if anybody hasn't tried it yet, quit being a sissy and go try it, because it's like exponentially better than cold email. So if you're doing cold email, stop, do email, do LinkedIn outreach instead, and just get a system around it and put the time in. It's totally awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. I love to hear that. And, you know, we should, is James coming to FemtoConf? Probably not, huh?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he would be in the neighborhood, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you should tell him if you see him here in the near future here, what happened with the LinkedIn thing, just drop him a line on email.
Yeah, so, for sure. No, sure, I've been in touch with him a bit since the episode, and he's been really helpful in kind of following up and giving me some shit about me being skeptical and not starting. So that's kind of why I pushed forward with it. So, yeah.
Good. So speaking of pushing forward and not starting, I ran into an article and I forwarded it to you, and that's what we're going to discuss a little bit today. So Josh Pigford of Barometrics had tweeted out something about founder mental health this morning. And we've talked about founder mental health with Sherry Walling and others before in a very, you know, general sort of way and maybe some specific suggestions. But after Big Snow Tiny Conf, you know, one of the things that we had talked about, or I specifically had talked about, so I can say whether I'm willing to talk about this or not, is 2018 had a lot of personal difficult moments for me. And these difficult moments translated into difficult business moments, because when shit is happening sideways in your personal life, I mean, it's really hard to focus on being a good founder and making solid decisions and keeping the ship righted and stay focused if your staff is asking for stuff from you. And there were definitely times that I was not doing this very well last year. And the tweet from Josh Pigford and the article that was in that basically described and resonated with several of those moments that I had this last year, where he's like, I'm sucking at parenting. There's things that are screwing up in the business. I'm just not feeling well. I feel like there's this dark cloud hanging over my head and everything is just wrong. Everything is wrong.
Yeah.
And I've totally connected with that.
It seems to really just come and go, doesn't it? I mean, that's, I think, the hardest part of entrepreneurship and owning your own business and stuff like that, is that the highs are really high and the lows are really low. And it, you know, we all say, oh, celebrate the wins because the tough times are going to come. But I almost take like the opposite approach to say, like, when, I don't know, maybe it's just a different way of looking at it. Like, when the good times are coming, it's like, I just put like mental credits in the bank, you know, to be like, I'm saving this day for when I have a shitty day, which could be like in 2 hours, or it could be tomorrow or the next week or something. But like, yeah, I mean, that the pendulum swings so quickly and so kind of hard each way. I've totally experienced and struggled with this, but more and more, I just kind of say, like, when the good times are happening, okay, this is good, but let's just get ready for the bad. Maybe I'm just like totally skeptical. And so it makes like when the bad times come a little easier to take, because I'm like, okay, I knew this was going to happen because we just had a bunch of really good times. You know, we'll get through this and have another good day tomorrow or something. It's obviously not that easy, but that's been my modus operandi for dealing with this stuff lately.
Yeah. You know, I've tried to take a slightly different approach to it. So, you know, while you're banking all the highs to help offset the lows, I'm trying to maybe not get quite as, I don't know, off the charts about the highs. Like, mm-hmm. I just get unreasonably excited when things start getting going well.
Yeah.
To the point where the low, like if you go right from a high to a low, you are on a literal roller coaster at that point. And that swing in emotions just, it causes like this whiplash inside of you to where you're almost just taken off guard and you can't really think or react. And then the low feels that much worse to me at that point. As a result of that, I've tried to, you know, I don't have a better way to express this, but I try to get less excited about the highs.
Yeah.
So that it also turns around and forces me to get less depressed about the lows.
Mm, yeah.
So I'm trying to, you know, even it out so that there isn't so much whiplash on it. Like, okay, this is a bad day. Yeah, shit happened today. Bunch of bad things. You'll get through this. It's not that bad. And then, you know, when the highs come, it's like, okay, well, this is nice, but remember, this is just a couple of days, or this is just 1 week, and you might, you know, let's say there's a lot of growth that week. Well, you might get some churn next week. So, you know, stop attaching these unreasonable expectations to the highs, because I then turn around, do the same thing on the lows, and screw myself emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're probably getting at the same kind of thing, which is just like finding stability. However you can, right? So that's the lesson probably, is that for you and I, it's kind of similar things. For other people, it's probably something different. But just not letting the swings affect you so much. However you can manage that is great. And you know, in this article, Josh talks about a handful of things. One of the things that I don't agree with. Maybe it's because of kind of how I work, but he says to remove work email and Slack from your phone. I've gotten better in the last, I'll say 6 months, about compulsively checking work email, all the time, and Slack, but I can't take it off my phone because I actually am relatively productive on my phone. Like in the evenings here, because like we have such time zone difference, I get on the computer in the evenings rarely, sometimes a couple times a week, maybe to help with like support email and stuff like that. But I chat with the team in the evenings, you know, sitting on the couch watching Netflix and stuff like that. And for me, that's like stolen productivity time. You know, like if I'm sitting there watching Netflix or whatever, my kids are watching Frozen for the 373rd time. Like for me to be on the phone slacking with our team in the US is no problem, you know? And so the same, I think, for like work email or your help desk app on your phone. Like, if you're vigilant about not abusing yourself by having these things on the phone, then I think it actually can be like a positive thing in the work-life balance world to say like, me having these things on my phone enables me to do more with my life because I don't have to be at the computer all the time. I can have my phone with me and steal 5 minutes here or there and check in to free up the next hour to do whatever I want to do. Whereas if you didn't have them at all, I would be at least saying like, if I'm gone for 4 hours on a Tuesday afternoon, what's going to happen that I don't know about? You know, it could be like a major thing, but because I have these things on my phone and I can check in once an hour and just say, oh, nothing big, I'm not going to reply to a bunch of emails, but just say, there's nothing that's like earth shattering that I need to stop what I'm doing for. Great. It gives me peace of mind for the next hour or 2 hours or whatever, and the freedom to go do whatever I want to do. So I don't know that I agree with this entirely to remove these from your phone, but say like, don't compulsively check these things all the time.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I was just sort of thinking, would my wife agree with the statements that you just made? What is it good that I can steal 5 minutes here and there? I'd say by and large, it's probably okay. Sometimes I get a little, we'll say obsessive, and I'll check things at maybe the not right time.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, upsets my family, my kids, or my wife, and that's bad. So I shouldn't be doing that. But I agree that it does give me some peace of mind. Like, for example, I really just don't have a lot of support coming in for Recapture. But when somebody does live chat, a lot of the times I find if I can respond to them within an hour, it's usually going to help retain them if they were the kind of person that had the right store. So mm-hmm. It's a combination of factors, but I don't know when they first contact me, I don't know if they have the right store or not. Yeah. I just had somebody sign up the other day, didn't even finish their trial. They just signed up for a paid account. Boom, right away. I'm like, wow, okay, that's confidence. And, you know, I can't see their data for like 24 hours, 48 hours sometimes while it queries all the crap from Shopify. But once it finally came in, I was like, oh yeah, you're definitely a good store. But had I just looked at the very first thing and I would have said, oh, well, it has zero revenue. So, you know, who knows? They're probably not very good. I can't trust that number. Mm-hmm. But they did contact me through Intercom and I did respond back to them within a few hours. I think they, you know, pinged me at like 3 a.m. or some shit like that. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not talking to you then. But when I did get up and, you know, got breakfast and the kids taken care of in school or whatever, you know, a few hours later, I came downstairs and took care of that right away. But I knew about it. So I knew that I had to, you know, stay focused and not have an extra cup of coffee or do chit chat or run an errand or any of that kind of stuff. I just had to get to my desk and take care of that.
Yeah.
Because it was a longer thing. I needed to paste some screenshots and stuff like that. So I think mentally having some of those notifications can be okay. But like you said, you don't want to be obsessive about it. And if I started having a shit ton of support, I should be hiring somebody to handle that at that point. I shouldn't be the guy taking that support. But right now when it's like one a day, maybe, it's more like 3 a week. That's, wow. That's what I usually get for volume on recapture there. It's very self-service.
Oh, so
a lot of people are just asking questions like, hey, how do I do custom email templates? You know? And so I've gotten really good about adding articles to Help Scout to fix those things. But I think I need to add some of that stuff to my onboarding. So there's like the very first email they get that says, here's all the stuff you might want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because those
mm-hmm.
are like the common questions I'm seeing these days with Shopify folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, getting back to the mental health thing. Yeah. I mean, I like having a little connection to the business because sometimes if shit's going sideways, I really do want to know about it. And then I can fix it and get back to whatever it was. But what I don't want to happen is that 4-hour time period to go, then I find the problem and find that everybody's really mad because I've had those times before. That's no fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's
then just having it on your phone is all you need. Just say, hey, there's this thing. Can you guys please take a look at this?
Yes.
And you're done.
Yeah. 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 And that's great. And that's what I use it for. And I mean, we don't Slack, so I don't really have the Slack problem. Most of the Slack stuff is from me being in various bootstrap groups or whatever, but you know, those I can ignore.
Yeah.
But email, I definitely have to have on there. Intercom, I definitely have to have on there. WhatsApp, I have to communicate with my team in Colombia and Spain. So those are absolutely essentials for me. But it just doesn't get abused. I think I could see where Josh would be like, holy shit, I have all this stuff coming at me. I got to shut it off. Because mm-hmm. he's got, I don't remember how many are on his team, 7, 8, 12, something like that. I don't know. It's a lot. Way more than what I've got, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could see that could be pretty disruptive to mm-hmm, things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I also think that like, and this is, you know, we are guilty of this. And I wonder if he sees this a little bit too. We have a decent support load for Castos and Sirius Assemble podcasting. Part of it is like, you know, free plugin users and there's tens of thousands of them. And part of it is just customers. And, you know, we're fortunate to have a good number of customers. But I see us having a decent support load as like a problem that we can solve with better product, better onboarding, better documentation, better things inside the app to not have people have to contact support. You know, like contacting support is the result of things that we can do better in all of those other areas. And so I wonder, like, for Josh or for anyone else that feels like they're overwhelmed with communication from their team, like, are we falling short in some way to say, like, my team is communicating with me because I don't give them clear expectations, or there's not SOP and guidelines for basically everything they should do in their business. And I am like the least organized person ever in this respect. But if I was having a bunch of communication from my team that I had to answer all the time, I would say, I shouldn't be answering these questions all the time. And how can I not answer these questions all the time and step away and give, like, enable the team to make decisions on their own? And they're very smart, responsible people. Maybe not all the decisions are going to be right, but let's let them make decisions. We can learn from the bad ones and kind of iterate from there so that I don't have to be beholden to answering everyone's questions all the time, you know?
Yeah, that certainly factors into it. Although I think there's a certain level at which they just have to ask you. Like,
totally.
It's taken a while that, you know, Bobby and I went back and forth for support on the plugins, and she's now really sending me the hard questions. For a while, it was like certain kinds of questions where she just wasn't sure about it. And I'm like, all right, are you not sure about this because you need training, or are you not sure about this because of, you know, some technical acumen, or what can I do to fix this? And so we had that discussion and that got better. But now the ones that I'm getting are like, oh shit, this is a one-off.
Look, I don't know.
Yeah, so a lot of the time I'm like scratching my head going, fuck, I don't know what the hell to do here. Yeah. Let's just take a wild guess. And that's usually the best thing I've got at that point. But those are, we're now down to those edge cases, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But with that said, I don't think we're ever going to get rid of all of those edge cases. There's just no way I can have an SOP for all of that crazy shit that happens in the 20% of those edge cases.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely a diminishing point of returns. And I'm going to assume that Josh, being a smart guy that has a business that's bigger than ours and has been doing this longer, has probably gotten to that point with most people on there. And he's probably getting inundated by shit that is the 20% edge cases. So with that said, I can see that if you're getting all of that crap all the time and you're having like some personal issues and you're just having a bad day in general, like this is gonna make for really difficult psychological time for you, that you have to step back and say, all right, I'm in a bad place right now and I can't be doing certain things because I'm just not going to be good at them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can I handle this the best way possible?
Yeah.
And, you know, Josh didn't really get that, but you know, when he was talking about all of the stuff that was just going sideways at once for him, I distinctly remember a period back in July, August last year where I was like, I was just millimeters away from getting ready to shut down Recapture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was having some bad times personally, and I was just, the sales were not great that month. The Shopify stuff hadn't really taken hold yet. I was kind of in between strategies. We'd launched the customer lifetime value stuff, and it wasn't getting much traction at that time. It was definitely a low point, you know, all of the stuff just lined up at once. And that's like my favorite time of the year is summer. So I should be like in the best of possible moods. But, you know, I started having serious doubts, like, am I good enough at business? And, you know, should I even be an entrepreneur anymore? Should I just, you know, stay in my freelancing job for the rest of my life here because I suck at this and I can't make this grow? And, you know, Dave is terrible and blah, blah, blah. It's a negative feedback loop. It's very hard to get out of. And it took me, you know, a few days and some conversations with my wife and some
soul
sanity
searching.
Time. Soul, yeah, I would call it soul searching. Sure.
Yeah.
Just you know, getting out, walking in the sunshine. I'd spent a little too much time inside at that point. I mean, I wasn't taking as good a care of myself physically as I am now. I wasn't getting the exercise I needed, for example. Just all that shit compounds, and when it compounds in the wrong way, then things get bad, really, really bad.
Yeah.
So you just got to put the brakes on and full stop and say, all right, I can't be the best entrepreneur I possibly can be, or the best father or the best husband or best anything right now. What can I do to fix this so that I can get out of this and move on? And then next time, how can I manage it so I don't have the highs and the lows, you know, yanking my chain around here, causing me to just be a total emotional basket case.
Yeah. You know, Josh talks about doing things to step away a little bit too. So taking up a hobby, meditating, exercise, things like that. I do some of all of these, but I have found that just not working really makes a big difference. I know it's like silly to say, but like if I'm having a really bad day, like, just stop pushing the chain, you know, like just stop, go out to lunch with your, you know, spouse or friend or whatever, and just get away. Right. And then like you come back and you're like, all right, let's go do this and figure it out. But like, I sit and just stare at my computer sometimes and I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not doing anybody any good right now other than like humping the leg of my developers, asking when something is going to ship. Because thinking like that's going to make all the difference in the world. Just stop. Just stop working. Go do something else and come back when you're ready to have like a positive outlook on things. Has been so, so, so helpful. And it's like stupid to say just work less, but strategically take a break is probably a smarter way to say it. Like, just say like, this is not the time for me to work, and my value is better to the company by doing nothing right now. And that's cool.
Yes. And I had a conversation with my wife at some point, and I think it was probably after that August timeframe, because we, you know, I'd be working all day, and then she would want to talk about stuff that was going on with our family, and we would do that and then go to bed. So it was like mentally I was occupied all day long.
Yeah.
And it suddenly occurred to me, I need some fucking downtime. Like I need some time that I'm not actively trying to think and that I'm just entertained for a little while.
You need some Dave time.
Well, yeah, I need some Dave time. But you know, this Dave time usually, especially in the winter around here, because there's not much to do to go outside after dark when it's cold, you know, it's just sit around and watch Netflix for an hour. Or Amazon Prime Video or whatever, you know, just something that I can disengage and kind of get out of that. Because if I just try to go straight to bed after I've been working or after we have these intense emotional discussions about shit that's going on in our personal lives, like it's really hard to sleep. I just can't shut my brain down. I need that time to kind of ramp down and bring it back into idle mode before I can, you know, get a good night's rest out of that.
Yeah.
So that was definitely one thing I realized last year is, there's got to be some downtime in the day. And number two, exercise is definitely not optional. You know, for a while I was doing Pilates and going on walks, and then Pilates got dropped, and then the walks got less frequent, and then Dave got cranky. So, you know, I also started referring to myself in the third person as part of that. And then I realized eventually this was just heading me in the wrong direction, especially when I had a physical and came back and they're like, oh yeah, your cholesterol's up. I'm like, shit, okay. So I had to pick something different, but it was like basically picking up a new hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I picked up another martial art, doing it with my teenage daughter. So there's like bonding time between us. It's exercise and it's something interesting. So it's kind of like a threefer there. I get exercise, I get to do a new hobby, and I'm bonding with my daughter all at the same time. But that has like had a huge impact on my mental health.
Yeah.
Huge. And I intellectually, I already knew that. I knew that was coming. But the fact that I let it go that long is, you know, stupid Dave talking and just saying, oh, I don't really need this, or I can skip this, or it's not as big of a deal. Like, I don't know how that overrides this, but now it's not going to be overridden anymore because my daughter is wanting to go. She wants to learn to do self-defense. So now I've got her as a motivator on top of all this. So this doesn't get skipped anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If anything, cool. I'm the one like kicking her out the door going, come on, get your home, put your homework away. We got to go. So nice. That's huge.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I'd love to hear, I mean, I think, you know, Josh touched on a handful of things in the article here. I think Dave and I chatted through a few of them too. I'd love to hear from folks, you know, listening to the show, things that you've faced when it comes to mental health and like maintaining mental health as you're, you know, starting up, and kind of what you've done to overcome it and sustain a healthy kind of lifestyle as an entrepreneur. Shoot us a message, podcast@roguestartups.com. You can tweet at Dave and I as well if you'd like. And we'd love to hear from you. If you want to keep it anonymous, that's cool too. And we'll share some of these experiences on the next episode. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.